So what is the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding about Manusmriti? There are some other organizations which say that they have created their own Manusmriti, which is the original Manusmriti. Answer. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita and other places does mention that some aspects of the Manusmriti have been interpolated, and especially those which exalt caste Brahmanas to a very high situation and make Brahmanism only something which results by caste. He does say that they are interpolated. And Srila Prabhupada focuses more on the principles of Manusmriti rather than the practices of Manusmriti. Principle of Manusmriti means, Prabhupada says that Manu is the original human being, and from him the words of God have come, and we need to follow them. At the same, although Prabhupada talks consistently about the principle of obeying Manusmriti, if you look at the practices, very very few of the practices from Manusmriti Prabhupada actually implemented in ISKCON. So the point here is that Prabhupada usually focused on principles more on technical details. And there are many, many things. If we look at the practices that Prabhupada instituted in ISKCON, based on the tradition, very few of them from Manusmriti he actually implemented. So, in principle, we human beings need to live according to the higher guidance. Tasmat Shastram Pramanam Te, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. 16.24. At the same time, the acharyas know best how the purpose of scripture can be fulfilled by adapting and adopting the specific instructions in the scriptures. And even in Manusamhita itself, it is stated that generally that these are principles which are not considered inviolable or they are not considered absolute principles. Manusmriti says that if in different situations, if a learned assembly decides that a particular principle cannot be applied, then it should not be applied. So there is the principle that dharma has to be practiced. But in the Bhagavatam also says, desha kala vibhagavit dharma gya, that the principles of dharma have to be presented according to desha kalaka patra. So that means that we cannot just arbitrarily say that this is right or this is wrong and just go ahead like that. So, in principle, we accept that we have to live according to the guidance given by Krishna, given through Shastra. But which Shastra, which section of Shastra, how much of emphasis should be given in application of that, all that will vary according to time, place, circumstance. So, the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, if we see, it emerged at a particular time in Indian history where the traditional orthodox Brahmanism, its power was being increasingly challenged from within by the Bhakti tradition and from without because of the rule of Islamic invaders. And whenever there was a resurgence with some Hindu rulers coming, they were more often inspired by the Bhakti saints rather than by the Smartha Brahmanas. So, because this was the particular background in which Gaudiya Vaishnavism emerged, so Gaudiya Vaishnavas did not focus too much on the practical management of society. We see Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they left their royal kingdom, royal positions, positions in the royal assembly for focusing on teaching the principles of absorption and devotion through rasa. And in this context, the tradition itself, in its origination, in the works of Rupa Goswami and the subsequent acharyas immediately, they don't talk much about practical issues in terms of what are the principles of dharma to be followed. Because Gaudiya Vaishnavism assumes that dharma is being followed, and beyond that, one has to rise to the highest level of dharma. So, Rupa Goswami in the 64 items of Bhakti doesn't talk about Varanashram. But he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu focused on transcending Varanashram, not establishing or perpetuating Varanashram. And the Manu Samhita focuses very much on Varanashram itself rather than on transcending Varanashram and moving towards pure love of God. That means if we look at the domains in which Gaudiya Vaishnavism is operated and the domain in which Manu Samhita operates, they are different domains. So Manu Samhita talks about largely practical administration of society, and that too a society in which Varanashram is already there and how to take things forward within that situation. Whereas Gaudiya Vaishnavism's focus has always been on transcending everything material, including Varanashram. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Naham Vipro Na Chinarapatir. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't belong to any Varana or any Ashram. I am simply Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that is almost 200 to 300 years after Gaudiya Vaishnavism started, then he started doing some amount of social commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or even Baldev Vidyabhushan or before that, Goswami, Chakravarti, Srinath Chakravarti, none of them did any social commentary. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur social commentary was also, to a large extent, downplaying caste Brahmanism and downplaying Manu Samhita so that the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could be focused. When Srila Prabhupada preached in the West at that time, he was also in the initial stages of his life focusing more on the transcendence of Krishna consciousness, saying that just by chanting, there are lectures in the 66-67 where Prabhupada says that this division of society into various Varanas and Ashrams, that has become the caste system and it has been exploitative and it is more or less failed. So now we should just focus on chanting Hare Krishna and transcending everything material. But maybe in the later half of his life, later half of his outreach within ISKCON, after the 70s, especially after 70 to 73, Prabhupada started focusing more on Varanashram. And he talked about how, there has to be some social organization. But he did not again go into details. And even when he talked about Varanashram, he stressed on Vaidevi Varanashram. Even then he did not focus on the specifics of Manu Samhita for implementing Varanashram. Prabhupada focused more on the qualities that should be developed. What qualities Brahmanas have, what qualities Kshatriyas have, what qualities Vaishyas have. And he did not get into specifics about what ways they need to conduct themselves for developing these qualities. So in that sense, Prabhupada's focus was quite clear. So his focus was on sharing Krishna consciousness and in whatever social system would be favorable, that he would use it. So in that sense, Krishna consciousness does not emphasize on Manu Samhita at all. It is not considered one of our cardinal books. Prabhupada talks about it more in terms of principle, again instead in terms of practice, not in terms of practices. So definitely there is some amount of interpolation in the Manu Samhita, and what exactly is the interpolation, what is there in the original, and among what is there in the original, what is meant to be applied today, these are all difficult issues to deal with. Not just for us, even 500 years ago when Jiva Goswami writes his Shasandarbhas, at that time he says that in the Smritis there is interpolation. So he says, for example, in the various Puranas, if we see, we don't know what is, he says, among the Vedas, much of the knowledge is lost now. All the Vedas are not available to us. And even the Puranas, there can be confusion because there is interpolation and sometimes there seems to be contradiction with different gods being called as supreme. He says, therefore, he gives an elaborate amount of reasoning in Tattva Sandarbha to establish Srimad Bhagavatam as the authority. Sarva Pramana Chakravarti Bhuta, the foremost of all the Pramanas. And then he takes off from there and establishing further Siddhanta. So in general, as sadhakas, we do accept the principle that as bhakti sadhakas, that there should not be any caste discrimination based on birth. Along with that, we also recognize the principle that different people are different, and artificially trying to create equality among everyone is not going to work. But how exactly society should be organized? And certainly a literal acceptance of Manu Samhita is not what our tradition recommends at all. And the focus of the tradition is on transcending, and depending on the particular time place circumstance, the leaders of the Vaishnava committee will need to have the farsightedness to recognize what sort of systems of social organization will help people to transcend, to practice the path of transcendence in their particular situation. So we respect Manu Samhita as a book within the Vedic canon, but it is not a book which our tradition has emphasized as being applied literally for today's times. Rather, the essential principle of obeying God and the essential principle of obeying so that we can transcend everything material, that is the principle which our tradition stresses.